I mean, how, maybe not specifically for a pandemic, but you think about situations like this and kind of crisis planning, it, how does that factor into the retail side of things and what you can do to prepare to handle a situation like that?
You have to take something like COVID-19 and really take it as a serious threat. Look at things that you can do to minimize any safety risk. But secondly, how do you maintain the health of the organization economically? It's not a situation that anyone's going to, you know, look at as thriving. But I do think that, you know, within a smaller company, you have to certainly think about what you're going to do to be able to survive as well.
It's certainly true that, you know, no two companies are alike, and in that same essence and regard, you know, no two companies are going to respond to a particular situation necessarily the same way. So I think, you know, in that vein, it's incredibly important to hear so many different stories and ways that in which companies are responding to this coronavirus situation as it continues to play out, you know, quickly and throughout the entire country and world, really. So recently was able to connect with someone that I had connected with in the past. You know, I always used to joke about this being such a small industry and, you know, bumping into people pretty regularly, that it doesn't matter where they are in their careers and in, you know, in today's world, but it's always nice to see them, and you're bound to bump into them again, you know, somewhere down the line. So, and that was the case recently with John Riddle, president and CEO of Howard's out in Southern California, a guy that I've connected with in the past. You know, he's had many stops in, you know, his tenure in his career at appliance companies and retail. So bringing it full circle, you know, the both of us able to connect to talk about, you know, what's going on at Howard's. He's entering his second year as president and CEO of the Southern California retailer out there, and had a lot to talk about. You know, two Pennsylvania guys getting together to talk about independent retail and sort of how Howard's is managing the situation and, you know, the changes they've made to adjust to stay-at-home orders and you know, the evolving health situation. So a lot of great things, a lot of great insights shared by John, and things that I think, you know, we sort of took the approach of, you know, how they prepared for this situation. Hard to do, you know, when it crept up on us so quickly, but, you know, how, you know, they can prepare for something like this, to how they're managing through it, and then looking ahead a little too, you know, as we prepare to come out the other side of this, as these orders lift, you know, what does that look like, and how are they, you know, getting themselves ready for, you know, the day in which customers and can start coming back into stores. They are able to go to stores as a you know, Howard's is an appliance retailer and in California labeled as essential. So you know, but, you know, when they start to lift the limits on people, you know, what that looks like and how things change, how retail changes. So really just a great conversation, one that I think, you know, there's lots of value in and that I look forward to sharing. So we'll just go ahead and dive into our conversation with John Riddle of Howard's. All right, we are back now on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and right now catching up with someone who, it's been a while since we talked, John Riddle, but it's nice to reconnect two guys that were in different spaces the last time that you and I were chatting about, you know, retail, and now here we are coming back together for the Independent Thinking Podcast, so appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Glad to be on the Independent Thinking Podcast and to be with you. And as you might guess, good to always reconnect with a fellow Pennsylvanian and somebody that benefits from those great Pennsylvania public schools.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, it's a good time. Always, you know, the hometown stuff. I got to throw this out there now that you mentioned that. You mentioned that you were from York. So what school, were you a public school kid?
I was public school system in a town called Hanover, which is famous in our neck of the woods, Rob, for Utz potato chips and Snyder's pretzels, and long time ago, a big shoe company called the Hanover Shoe. And So I grew up in the public school system of Hanover, and I didn't go too far to college. I went to York College, which was a 1770s, early school that was founded by Ben Franklin, and did 4 years there and graduated in 1979, believe it or not. And worked during those 4 years. I was living on campus, but my dad had two stores in York. And so I worked for older brothers of mine while I was in college during my school time there.
Gotcha. I got the Catholic bug in high school. So I did public school through, through K through eight. And, I don't know if you, LaSalle College High School rings a bell, but that.
Oh, sure. It does. Yeah.
All right. So that was my high school, and then stuck in PA, went out to Duquesne in Pittsburgh. So another, a Catholic college, but.
Yeah. Great school. Pittsburgh's blessed with three really great schools. And I think it's been one of the factors, probably Don, from Don's Appliance and his team could validate this, but it's been one of the big factors. I think Pittsburgh has stayed a healthy city because of places like Duquesne and Pitt and Carnegie Mellon sort of keeping that city together.
Absolutely. And funny fact that I don't know how many people know this, but those three schools are all on the same road, just about 2 miles apart from Forbes Avenue there in Pittsburgh. So you could drive 2 miles up and down Forbes and hit all three schools, which is pretty cool.
You bet. And all great schools.
Yeah. So PA, still kicking it, but appreciate, like I said, you hopping on. Last time we connected, you had just retired from LG, a wonderful career there, but now president and CEO of Howard's out on the other side of the country. So how is California life treating you, and what's been happening since we last talked?
A little bit harder to get to work in the mornings because I carry a surfboard with me in my car, but just Southern California is a great place. I've lived out here a couple times in my career, Rob. So once with Maytag and once with a former public Fortune 500 company called Fleetwood, which was a big recreational vehicle and home builder company. And I was based here for a number of years with both those companies. So always have liked Howard's. Howard's is just been a Southern California institution for almost 75 years, really rooted in the community of the Southern California market, and was part of my customer base at Maytag and Philips Electronics and at LG Electronics. So Howard's was a big part of my career for probably 20 years or more as a part of a customer base. So I think Howard's, as I thought about Howard's over the years, they were distinguished for a lot of the quality they did, for customers and customer service, the shopping experiences and the installation and delivery and things that Howard Roach, the founder of the company, had built with his team. And it probably very interesting, I think, for me in looking at Howard's was that it's one of the oldest ESOPs, employee-owned companies in the United States. Howard's became an ESOP in 1976.
Wow.
And that's around the time that the concept of an ESOP, first was launched in America. And so that really added a really interesting part of one of the oldest appliance dealers in the U.S. And it was sort of 360 for me, because my dad started his appliance and TV business in 46, same time that Howard Roach did Howard's, same year. And when my dad got out of the Army and came home, he launched a dealership in Pennsylvania. And so although the two businesses are quite a bit different in areas of the country and size and all those kind of things, very similar roots to growing up in the family business that I grew up in. So I think all those things made it a really interesting thing for me to be a part of.
No, that's really awesome. And I know, you talk about 360, it's kind of cool coming back to that and seeing that the retail out west and how that can be just sort of different from what you might be used to having grown up in PA. But entering year two now, so I know we talked a little bit before we hopped on about your path to president and CEO there at Howard's, and officially named president and CEO last March, March 2019. And, you know, entering year two, I'm sure you weren't thinking, as you sort of did that strategic planning at the outset, that a global pandemic would be, you know, sort of in front of you. But I mean, how, maybe not specifically for a pandemic, but you think about situations like this and kind of crisis planning, it, how does that factor into, you know, the retail side of things and what you can do sort of in your type of role to prepare to handle a situation like that?
I think a number of things. I think you have to, within a smaller company, you have to watch for, you know, best practices and things that are unfolding to analyze always, number one, the safety of your organization and the people in your organization, and the safety, obviously, of your contract operators that work, you know, hand in hand with your company and your vendors. And also certainly, Rob, for all the customers that, you know, are supported. I think when I came here, Howard's customer list was around 750,000 households. So when you have that kind of customer base, you know, that's been accumulated over 75 years, you have to take something like COVID-19 and really take it as a serious threat. And I think look at things that you can do to minimize any safety risk. But secondly, as a smaller company, how do you maintain the health of the organization economically to be able to get through that pandemic and be able to get to the other side of things and survive? So it's not a situation that anyone's going to, you know, look at as thriving within a crisis. But I do think that, you know, within a smaller company that has less scale, certainly maybe less retained earnings or less assets, those kind of factors, you have to certainly, you know, think about what you're going to do to be able to survive as well.
Right. And I know, you know, now kind of honing in and looking specifically at this situation, I know, you know, California, I think, was one of the first states that threw those stay-at-home orders out there and sort of brought a whole new wrinkle to the kind of challenge that retailers were facing, and I know independents in particular. You guys, I know, have a robust website and platform there, but you know, what steps did you take to sort of you know, position yourselves well to not suffer necessarily during, you know, a situation like this as these mandates were coming down?
Well, I do think it was quite a bit at an early time. Governor Newsom, the governor of California, I think will score highly when we get through this, in my view, because I think he was extremely proactive and navigated in a state that I think the census this year, Rob, will probably list California at 40 million people. Mm-hmm. So it's a state that's, you know, bigger than the country of Canada, by far the largest state in the United States. And if you look at Southern California, where Howard's is, probably 24, 25 million people in Southern California. So as you look at metropolitan New York, and I think about, you know, all the years that I flew in and out of LaGuardia with LG and seeing a sign that said the 19 million people in New York and the boroughs and Connecticut and New Jersey, this is a larger market. And so that type of change, when you have people that are being told to stay home and only under situations where they need essentials to go out and so forth, we were up against something that really nowhere else in the country had jumped on that early. And I think it was an extremely positive thing in the way that California rolled it out. And most of the city governments in Los Angeles and Orange County and Riverside and San Bernardino, the counties that we operate in, were all pretty aligned on following the support of the governor. So you didn't have this sort of mixture situation that, you know, maybe existed in New York, as you look at New York, between the governor's office and the mayor's office in New York or what have
right.
you. So I think we had some things to our advantage, I think, starting out with. But I think more than anything else, California was very clear from the start that appliance dealerships were essential and that people could not go without their appliances if they failed. And we know, of course, that, you know, about 63-64% of all the appliance purchased in the United States are replacement purchases, mm-hmm. that are desperation purchases. And that volume, that 80,000 units a day in the U.S. is a big part of Southern California's business as well. So we had to stay open somehow for those customers and figure things out. And I think for us, it really involved two or three things. One was first to really set things in motion from a safety point of view. So all areas of our business in our stores, our headquarters, our customer service department, our supply chain and distribution operation, for all of our staff, we instituted almost immediately all the processes that you would do from a standpoint of outfitting the employees with masks and gloves. We hired a firm that specializes in sanitation so that every operation of Howard's had a daily routine deep cleaning. And then employees, you know, did also periodic cleanings within all of their department areas from a sanitization standpoint as well. So I think all those things and distancing each other, we mapped out our floors in our stores for 6-foot distances and educated our staff on how to educate our customers when they came in the stores to be that in that 6-foot distancing. Our employees last year, we outfitted with iPads and giving them tablets to be able to use. Obviously, at the time that we did it last year was for other benefits, but this enabled our sales staff to stay within talking range of a customer, but do everything from a transactional standpoint with the customer and not have to leave them or walk away or pass by other customers, you know, in the store and so forth. And we limited the presence of customers to no more than 10 in our stores at the same time. So I think having those kind of processes, Rob, were very, very important to us. We had in one of our stores, we had an employee come back from a trip from Toronto at the very start of COVID-19. And he came back into the store on a Saturday. We found out that Toronto in Canada at the time was not mentioned as a high-risk country. A level 3 was not their designation. But we found out the same day that he returned to work that, you know, they had been upgraded. And we immediately took the entire staff of that store and had them go out for 2 weeks.
Right.
So we acted very quickly whenever we had a situation that might, and this employee had, you know, been tested at the airport in Canada from a fever standpoint, felt no symptoms whatsoever. But rather than take any risk, we immediately made that change and we spread staff out and some headquarters staff to cover the store. So we did stay open the whole time, but we had the entire staff stay home for 2 weeks so that, you know, we presented every employee in the company a very high road kind of positioning that under any circumstances that we had, we were going to pay for people to stay home and make sure that we safeguarded our customers and our other staff as well. So I think taking those kind of steps helped us early on. And we've had just a remarkable, we've kept our hours a little bit abbreviated. Mm-hmm. We're open from 10 until 8. Through the week, and then a little bit abbreviated hours on Saturdays and Sundays, but we are open every day. And we have had zero issues, Rob, within any of our employees. We've not had any employees, you know, and we've made it very clear that anyone that felt, you know, that they wanted to could stay home and we would allow them to stay home and so forth and take advantage of the support to stay home. But we've had no one do that within our company. I think some of that traces to being an employee-owned company.
Right.
But I think some of it also traces to being high in their confidence. The leadership at Howard's was taking the right steps to make sure that everyone was guarded and so forth.
Yeah.
We also did something that I think has stayed with us, and that is we added compensation to every team member in the company.
Oh, wow.
And we also added compensation to our contract operators that help us in the areas of installation in the home, our 3PL delivery provider as well, a company called DSI that you're probably
yep.
familiar with,
yep.
And so forth. And so we did this working with our contractors as well and all the people that are employed by Howard's to make sure that they knew that we were going to add extra compensation during this difficult time for making sure that they felt very good as best as you can about working during a crisis. And it has just gone off without a hitch for us. And we've had To date, no issues with anyone that we're aware of in the company. We've installed protocols, Rob, with our delivery organization so that every week they have a training meeting of the script that they read when they enter a customer's home. And what they're going to do, they're in masks, they're wearing masks and they're wearing gloves and so forth. They have sanitization, you know, sprays that they use as well, and cleaning equipment and so forth. And we really buttoned it up to give high confidence, I think, to both our customers and also our staff that we could still perform deliveries. It's, I think, one of the things that's interesting in this crisis is many of the, you know, national big box competitors have said, well, we'll do curbside delivery. It's just not going to do very well to do a curbside French door delivery, you know, and just very few customers that you're going to be able to bring a washer or refrigerator or range or something to the curbside and have them be able to somehow manhandle that into the house and do it effectively and also be able to get rid of the old appliance. So we've continued to operate with that sort of desire to be a neighborhood element in Southern California with our customers.
That's awesome. And it, a lot of, you know, what you're kind of alluding to there is sort of something that I was going to ask as kind of a follow-up in that, you know, the buy-in that you mentioned from employees and getting them all on board with all of these changes, because it's a lot. I mean, for someone who's used to coming to you know, work every day and having really a routine for how they, you know, either talk to customers or even just operate and be in the store is sort of, you know, completely altered by this in terms of, you know, having to stay apart from coworkers and customers and everything like that. And, you know, potentially wearing this protective equipment and just a completely different type of working style. So, I mean, it sounds like you guys had a pretty easy time getting that buy-in and getting, you know, employees to really support all these types of changes that you were really, I mean, forced to make, essentially.
We did. And I think it has a lot to do, Rob, with a couple of things. I think one, the things that I described. I think two, within an ESOP like Howard's, you have a very, very tenured staff in many cases. And so we have a lot of folks that have been here for years and decades with the company. And I think with that, you get a feeling of confidence for the people that are younger in their tenure with the company to sort of look up to them, you know, from a leadership standpoint as well. And I think our team has done a great job in that area. The other part of it is, in my view, is leadership during these kind of crisis times, whether it's in a business or a sports team or the military or whatever the case might be, I just don't feel that you can lead from behind. And so in a headquarters environment here, we ran some flexible kind of work from home capabilities and so forth, and we spread people out. We had, fortunately, extra space in our headquarters, so we took our customer service team and spread them out so they could properly do social distancing and so forth. But there's not a day that I've not been here. And I've taken pains to make sure that, you know, although I'm wearing safety, you know, equipment in a mask and gloves and so forth, I am very visible to the organization. And in a small organization where you have, you know, 200 or less people, you got to be able, in my opinion, to do that, because it's not going to set the right note if you say, hey, we want to, you know, continue to serve our customers and be sort of a landmark in our neighborhoods in Southern California. But by the way, I'm going to work from my place in Huntington Beach. That's just, you know, that's not just a great way, in my opinion, for a leader to conduct things. So it's been a big part, I think, of us staying together as a team.
Oh, that's awesome. And I mean, you know, what's the response been, or can you speak to, you know, how customers have responded to this, and are they, you know, still engaging, whether, you know, be it through coming into the store, or, you know, how is the website performing and stuff like that? Are they still, you know, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
Yeah, I think the website is certainly, and we had not obviously planned it, but we had done a lot of work. We launched a new website for Howard's last May. A lot of work that we had done from the board point of view, we know that we needed to do a lot of work. I think a lot of regional dealers, Rob, as you and I go back and look at, you know, the channel A lot of regional dealers just do not fare well if you look at comparisons amongst the, you know, Lowe's, the Depots, the Best Buys, and even Sears, where I think one of the things that Eddie did do well with Sears was he really, you know, enhanced the loyalty programs and some of the things on the website that had helped Sears. But I think that, you know, in general, many regionals are behind the times on what they're doing from an e-commerce and website standpoint. So we launched a new website in May. We relaunched again the end of 2019. And so, and we had a lot of work going through that we had worked starting in January with Nationwide on preparation for launching an entire newly designed website this month. And so we had a lot of things moving in the right direction to improve online shopping experiences, you know, within Howards.com. And a big part of that that we added to in March when this crisis came up was chat. So being able to provide live chat and to get that sort of personalized, you know, one-on-one kind of contact capability in an industry where people oftentimes need some type of consultation, either on dimensions or whatever they're replacing and so forth. And then this month we launched our Zoom capability as well, where we do Zoom calls, you know, by appointment with customers in store, which we're really excited about as well. And the e-commerce side of our business is up dramatically in March and April, as I think most retailers, you know, would vouch for, but probably higher for us because this market had no one else really open doing home delivery. There was curbside delivery available, but the big differentiator, I think, for Howard's connecting the e-commerce and the website experience was that capability of still being able to do home delivery.
That's awesome. And I know, for sure, I know we've heard anecdotally from members and others throughout the channel that adding those things like chat and other website enhancements have certainly been of help, you know, to them during this time. So it's always good to hear that, you know, those things are coming through and providing value. And what other, you know, are there any other challenges that you're facing right now, you know, that you kind of either didn't anticipate or just sort of, you know, as you're looking at kind of your response to this and things you've had to do that are you're still sort of, you know, trying to get a grasp on or trying to figure out as you manage this situation in this crisis?
Well, I think some of the challenges have been, you know, looking at supply. There was an increase, you know, by probably a 15 multiplier, Rob, in the area of a product like freezers that we certainly didn't anticipate. And you got to be careful with those kind of things, I think, as a retailer, because those can that faucet can turn off as quick as it turned on. And but, you know, some aspects of supply and some manufacturers, you know, well, all manufacturers have certainly faced similar challenges in their manufacturing facilities. And so we've had some manufacturers have plants that have gone down for a couple weeks, you know, because of a COVID scare or COVID instances within their facilities. And so we've had to watch supply and make sure that we had product on order and could manage that from a standpoint of our supply chain and be able to, you know, see how that's going to, you know, mix out going down the road. And also, as you might guess, with companies like Best Buy, particularly with some of the steps that Best Buy took in closing down their stores and having only curbside delivery and so forth, that's a big part of the business that went a little bit idle. And when they come back online, as we now see, I think Best Buy has announced that they're going to start home deliveries the end of this month again with, you know, install and so forth. And also, I think they're going to look at by market as to opening their stores back up and what have you. So as they come back online or any other major retailer comes back online, we have to watch as that, you know, could interrupt our Memorial Day or 4th of July inventory or supply as well. I think also other challenges that we had to face early are just with things that you're doing with keeping spirits as high as you can with staff. And the combination of problems, Rob, that they have at home,
right?
Because all of a sudden you have kids at home. And if you're, you know, obviously if you're a parent or even a grandparent and you have kids with you that aren't normally with you or they're in school and so forth, how do you manage that, you know, from a standpoint of your work schedule? And how do you deal with that? I think, you know, trying to also look at things like PPP and other elements of the CARES Act and the government support. Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, get set up with your bank to make sure Nationwide's done a nice job of supporting information in that area? From what I can see, probably most of the buying groups, you know, have, but I know because I used it with Nationwide, it gave us the capability to be fully educated, you know, as a dealer as to how to get ready for the application process in that mm-hmm. payroll protection plan. And then local government stuff. We had inspectors coming in some of our locations in Los Angeles County that were a bit more aggressive and maybe not as familiar with what the governor's edict was out of Sacramento as an essential retailer. And so we had to sort of be on our toes pretty quickly to help our store operations team if they had an overzealous, you know, inspector from one of the county governments or right. local governments as well. So I think those things are things that you wouldn't know until you go through something like this crisis on how to handle it.
Right, right, for sure. And I know, you know, kind of looking to now on the other side of it, as you start to see states that are getting ready at, you know, opinions aside, that are getting ready to open up at this point. I mean, I know that that puts a lot of focus now too on the other side of things on how you come out of this. So, I mean, is that something that you guys have thought about yet? You know, what it looks like on the other side of this, or how you sort of get back to, you know, whatever business in this new normal is going to look like? I mean, you know, how do you start to prepare for something like that?
Yeah, I think I think the way that you prepare for it is to look at things in stages. I think that, you know, Governor Kemp in Georgia, certainly, you know, a lot of sort of, you know, conversation going around maybe coming back too fast. And I think here in California, my opinion is that Newsom and his staff in Sacramento are going to be, from what they've said, a lot more sort of phased in their approach. So I think for us, you know, looking at store hours and staffing our marketing budgets, what we're doing from a standpoint of home delivery and installation, and our inventory levels from a forecasting standpoint for Memorial Day and then 4th of July, I think all those things are based on, you know, a sort of phase-in approach of how we're going to look at things. We also are looking at what we do for launching, going back into normal, what we are doing for launching some of the stuff that we've done for new store remodels. We had completed 4 locations of store remodels in Los Angeles market last year. We have a brand new location in Long Beach that's coming online in a place called Marina Pacifica, mm-hmm. which is a very high end of the Pacific Coast Highway up in the Long Beach area. And obviously working with general contractors and, you know, people that, you know, may have, you know, totally gone out or dark during this period of the crisis, that sort of puts a time crunch on you to try to hit, you know, store launch, you know, timeframes and so forth. So all those areas, I think, are things that we would, you know, be watching pretty closely and planning. The other part of this is we're doing some things in our stores for technology and connectivity for home appliances and consumer electronics. And those areas for us, Rob, have pretty well gone on hold. So, you know, we're looking to get those back on track, but we want to make sure that, you know, as we bring them on track, we're also maintaining things like social distancing and so forth, that we're not, you know, doing things with in-store kiosks or live product vignettes that have too many people in a location at a time and we're unable to have safe behaviors.
That's crazy. I mean, just the way that, you know, everyday business is going to be impacted, it's not something, even as you phase it in, you know, it's kind of interesting to sort of hear your take on it, that it's clear that it's going to be this way for a while, just as far as some of these safety measures are concerned. And I mean, maybe, you know, some change is permanent in a sense. So it'll be interesting to see sort of how they come together and what retail looks like on the other side of this. So Mr. John Riddle, I took up a lot of your time, more than I know I planned for, but you know, I appreciate you coming on and chatting with us here and offering some really awesome insights into, you know, what business is like and how you have been managing through this.
Thank you, Rob. And thanks for everything you're doing for us with the Independent Thinking Podcast. I think back to when I was a kid and how much my dad learned and appreciated from the things that came out of the trade area and the buying group channel to be able to help him as an independent business person to be up to speed. And certainly speaking for our channel, we appreciate very much everything that you and your team are doing on these kind of measures to help share best practices and so forth.
No, we appreciate it. And hey, I'm just happy we got to reconnect, as part of Nationwide and Howard's here. So this is a lot of fun and something I hope we got to do again in the not too distant future, maybe under
Me
different
too.
Circumstances with no pandemic happening. But
yeah, come visit us in Southern California during the winter time if you can, Rob.
I will take you up on that for sure.
Okay.
That was awesome. Thank you. All right, and a huge thanks again to John for taking time out of his crazy schedule and, you know, talking with us about what they've got going on, how they've been working through this situation. And like I said, some really cool insights and things that I think, you know, many throughout the independent retail channel can kind of learn from and perhaps apply to their own businesses, for whether it's from the in-store experience to what they're doing online, how they're switching up and better protecting the customers and, you know, their staff on deliveries and just really the whole experience. So, great conversation. Looking for more of those stories always. So feel free to reach out to us. And, until then, appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we will catch you next time.